This is SR1.
A three.
Stand and fight, Nick Schroeder.
On a school night.
Welcome back to another round here on the last SR1 Sunday of the year of 2023. Which some people are probably a little bit excited about, this being the last Sunday of 2023. I mean, it's been a hellacious year for many. If you have a home, if you have kids, if you are a human being, it has been a tough year. Let me say, I can tell you, just going to the grocery store, you can definitely feel the difference between this year and, let's say, 2019. But before we get into all of the good and the bad and the ugly of this year, let's just start out celebrating something that we haven't seen in a while. I mean, this thing was around. It's kind of like that mad cow disease where it was here, but then it was gone. And that's the success of your MIZZOU Tigers.
Trying maybe to put this game away right now. Second down and goal, 13th play of the drive. Cook to the air, into the end zone, caught, and there's Luther Burden. Touchdown, Missouri.
MIZZOU with a phenomenal come from behind. Only three points. He had to come from behind. But playing Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl, I mean, you're the underdog. All of the media is saying that you're going to lose. You've got a hometown hero, several hometown heroes from Brady Cook, Cody Schrader, Luther Burden. These are top tier athletes that any other year you would have likely seen them going to Alabama, Ohio State. I mean, Mookie Cooper, who originally went to Ohio State, is now back here. And he's a guy who went to Trinity, my alma mater, the high school that I graduated from, which is now defunct. It's now closed down. But I'll tell you, it was a good game. The second half, if you hadn't seen it, is when Mizzou really came out of their cage, if you want to put that into imagery. Mizzou was unleashed, and the Tigers went down the field, two different scoring drives. And Brady Cook, say what you will, earlier in the year he was getting booed. This dude has a phenomenal arm. He's got legs. The first half was just basically him running around the field, getting some yards. But they came back. Brady Cook laced two different throws that, man, only like Tom Brady or somebody would be able to accomplish. But when you look at what some of the other teams are doing, look at Alabama, Nick Saban, a ton of respect for them and what they've done over the past several years. I mean, a dynasty that Alabama has been. But then when you open up the free market, when you allow players to not get these secret deals, but when you allow players to have the same advantages that other scholarship students would have, such as getting a book deal, getting a commercial deal, having spots on YouTube or Twitter or TikTok, whatever it may be, now these people can capitalize on the use of their name, image, and likeness. And it's not the school paying for them. That's a misconception that we had when Missouri passed my amendment on opening up the free market, allowing these kids to experience the free market at a very young age and reaping the benefits of their success. We had a lot of haters saying that the school would be paying for these individuals. The school would be already writing a scholarship, and then they're going to write millions of dollar checks to these students, which is not the case. What we have is star athletes like Brady Cook, Cody Schrader, Luther Burden, the ones that I mentioned, and so many others that are coming here saying that we are embracing the free market. The Missouri legislature, with my bill, embraced the free market. And I know there's a bunch of people that are going to say, oh, wait a second, and now you got these 19, 21-year-old kids that are millionaires now. Well, you also have 10, 20 years ago, this was happening. Even 15 years ago, 5 years ago, this was happening. But you weren't hearing about it. And then when they get caught, the kids getting penalized, other kids at the school who had nothing to do with it could get penalized. And guess who's reaping the benefits? The NCAA will take that money. The SEC will take the money. And I share a story. I've said this on, I think it was earlier this year. There was a story before we passed this bill. I forget what college it was. SEC school, I don't know. Kid gets injured. The other players, to help him pay medical bills and everything else, make ends meet, threw a fundraiser at the school. And I think it was the NCAA came in and said, you can't do that. You all are being penalized now, and we're going to take the money. Money didn't go to the kid. Money didn't go to the family. It went to their monopoly. But what this free market is doing, when you have states that are embracing this free market approach, saying, if you were a kid, a scholar athlete, or a scholarship student that's an athlete, you can do exactly what our other students can do. There's nothing preventing a kid who's not an athlete but on scholarship to write a book, to be the new Stephen King. Hopefully they won't be as liberal and whacked out as Stephen King has become. If you're a musician, you can go out and cut CDs or records, whatever the hell you're doing, put your music out. If you're a comedian, you can go make money. But for so many years, you couldn't go out there, sign autographs. You couldn't do media appearances. You couldn't give how-to tips for the younger kids coming up in football and baseball and hockey, whatever it may be, telling them how you rose to the top and here's some tips that they can implement to follow in your footsteps. But now you can. We've got Brady Cook, who is teaming with Luther Burden. Their sponsor is Emo's Pizza. They're from the St. Louis metropolitan area. So is Emo's. So I don't see anything wrong with allowing the free market to be embraced, even for students, even for student athletes. Some people do, and I know what the apprehension is. I know that a lot of people are saying, hey, you're going to spend this money, you're going to wine and dine, you're going to do whatever it is to be the popular kid now that you have millions of dollars. Archie Manning, I think that's his name, or Arch Manning, third string quarterback for University of Texas. I think he played just a couple snaps this year at the very, very end. But because he's got these name, image, likeness deals that he goes out and is using his name to tie to whatever sponsorship it may be, he's making millions of dollars. And there's NFL players that aren't making as much money as he is. And I know the haters out there are going to say, well, you know, that's setting him up for failure. I don't think so. Because guess what happens if Arch Manning goes out there, tears his ACL, first game of the year, doesn't make it to the NFL? How's he ever going to capitalize on all of that hard work that he put in up until that point? NCAA can capitalize on it. SEC or whatever league he's in, Big Ten, the school can capitalize on it, but he won't. And I know a lot of former collegiate players that have grueling injuries that they're still having surgeries on, treatment on. But who's helping them pay? If they had the opportunity back then to have a book deal, make a little money on TikTok or YouTube, or get a commercial deal, maybe that could have helped them make ends meet. So, yeah, that's going to be another issue to look at, because now Nick Saban, who was a master at getting these recruits in, likely with, and I've heard through the grapevine some of the stories, but likely with deals of his own, millions of dollars of his own coming and going. Now he's a little bit upset because this free market is making it to where Alabama doesn't have the monopoly anymore. Now you've got kids wanting to stay in the state of Missouri, wanting to stay local because they can get their education, they can be a star on a football team, and they can also put a little bit of money in their pocket. Whether they want to spend it now, put it in savings, invest. I don't think that the government should be stepping in telling kids or telling anybody how to use their money. But Nick Saban is having a fit right now because there's a transfer portal as well on top of the NIL deals. In the NIL deals, you'll always hear me talking about free market because that's what I think it is. But the transfer portal is allowing these players to say, all right, not happy at this school, whatever it may be, I want to go somewhere else. That's something that you really didn't see several years ago, but that's shaking things up quite a bit. Well, some of the other things that are shaking politics up, the world up. 2023, like I said, has been a crazy year. We had the Biden administration had a male, biological male, who went and got breast implants, flashing the world on the White House lawn. Now, this is after Jill, or whatever the hell her name is, Jill Biden. Jill Biden's husband is allowing all these people to come in. And when he was on the ballot, Jill Biden's husband, Jill Biden said decency is on the ballot. Well, not only do you have these biological men with fake breasts showing the world, showing kids at these events on the White House lawn, you've got Democrat staffers that are desecrating the sacred ground that we call the Capitol. You have so many other issues, like Jamal Bowman pulling a fire alarm. This is a grown-ass man who is a former principal, now a congressman, stopping proceedings. You have pro-Hamas, pro-terrorists, legislators and supporters coming into the Capitol, coming into different offices. Nothing's happening. So this year, you also have, it almost appears like Nazi Germany. Maybe for once, when we use some of those Democrat talking points about, oh, fascism is here. Yeah, it is. Maybe they're right now, but just not in the way they think. Because look at the Colorado Supreme Court. The high court, like I like to say. Because the only way you can interpret the Constitution in the way they did to take a former president, to take Donald Trump, who's not been convicted of a damn thing, to take him off the ballot and interfere in an election, you've got to be high. And I think in Colorado, there's a chance that they probably were. But it looks like that decision is being put on hold as it's continuing through the legal process. Their primary is right around the corner, so I hear that he's back on the ballot. But then we've got this issue in Maine. We've got, let's save that for the next segment here. Because I do want to start to talk about, this isn't the first time this has actually happened. This isn't the first time that a Republican who stood on principle, and I giggled, yeah, we're talking about Trump. Yeah, Trump is actually standing on things that he promised the voters he was going to do. Now, granted, all of them didn't get done. And when you hear Rob Carter and I have conversations on the good and the bad behind a President Trump, you'll hear that we're not supporting a person just because of the person. We're supporting certain policies he stands for. And yes, there are flaws. Yes, he did keep a lot of these swamp creatures around like Fauci and, leaned into things that Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell wanted. Didn't get the wall built in its entirety. Didn't entirely fix the immigration system. But was a hell of a start. But this isn't the first time that the Democrat radical left attacked a Republican and took him off of the ballot. In 1860, there was a guy, you might know him, named Abraham Lincoln. And I think there were 10 states. Yeah, 10 Southern Democrat states did not allow Abraham Lincoln to have his name on the ballot. Abraham Lincoln was taken off of Democrat ballots, 10 different states in the 1860s, because of what he stood for. Because he said, yeah, we're getting rid of slavery. Slavery is a human abomination that we have to get rid of. So the Democrats back then are no different than the Democrats today. And actually, here's the crystal ball moment. We see what August is going to look like. The primary elections are going to look a lot like this next year.
We like Republican tickets.
We ain't got those yet. Just the Democrat tickets.
We'll wait.
Might be a pretty long wait.
That's exactly what is happening right now in the United States, the U.S. of A., where the Republic is being attacked by radical Democrats wanting to further interfere in elections. We aren't going to let it happen, and we're going to tell you how we're going to stand and fight after this break.
Schroeder.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? This is Jeffrey Wilson from That Podcast Network, and you are listening to Stand and Fight with Nick Schroeder.
SR1 Sundays.
On a school night.
Stand and Fight with Nick Schroeder.
Hey, everybody, it's Rob Carter. Are you ready to take that boring bathroom and transform it into something special? Something just a little more luxurious? Let me tell you about St. Louis Bath and Renovation. Respected and trusted throughout the St. Louis community for detailed craftsmanship and impeccable service. For the best drought-free and maintenance-free bathroom renovations available, stop waiting and call St. Louis Bath and Renovation, tailored to fit your style. 314-477-6476 or go to stlbr.com.
Stand and Fight with Nick Schroeder.
Producing better modern sound and country music.
I've seen Jesus play with flames in a lake of fire. I was standing in
SR1 Sundays.
Met the devil in Seattle. Spent 9 months inside the line.
Well, I would have given it a D minus in constitutional law with great inflation. But if the professor was Lawrence Tribe, or if it was Jamie Raskin, he'd have given him an A+. This is an attempt to totally manipulate an amendment that was never designed to disqualify people in future elections. It was a Civil War amendment. It's right. An attempt to manipulate this amendment just to get Trump. Title of my book, Get Trump. This is just another example of that. If you look at the Constitution, it is as clear as could be that the 14th Amendment can be implemented only by Congress, not by state legislatures. The Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article, and it's logical. Remember who wrote the 14th Amendment? Radical Republican Reconstructionists. You mm-hmm. think they would give the power to decide who's gonna run for president to Mississippi and Alabama? Of course not. It's the most absurd argument historically and constitutionally. And the text of the amendment doesn't even apply to the president of the United States.
Wow, what a year when Alan Dershowitz, a Trump-hating professor at Harvard, is saying that what is happening across our nation is unconstitutional. It's an attack on our republic, and he doesn't stand for it. Welcome back to SR1 Sundays, Newstalk STL 1019 94.1. If you're listening to us live, if not, check us out on Rumble. Just got another email this week of another organization. I'll have to get with Phil here in a little bit to remember who that is. But we've got all of these different podcasting services that are putting Stand and Fight. So just go to whichever one you use. Search Stand and Fight with Nick Schroeder. If you don't know how to spell my name, go read a book. But you can find our podcast damn near everywhere. And hopefully it'll spread like wildfire, like the little brush fires of liberty the Freedom Caucus will be spreading this year in the Missouri legislature. But back to business. Ring the bell, Phil. Round two is upon us. And before I get back to Maine, and I'll tell you what, it's the People's Republic of Maine that it is becoming, because I never really paid attention, no offense to the people in Maine, never really paid attention to how their processes, how their elections took place, how certain members were appointed. So we'll get to that in just a second, but back to Alan Dershowitz. I mean, this is a year where, and mind you, in this clip that he just spoke, he has a lapel pin with the American flag and the Israel flag. Is he going to be attacked? Is he going to be attacked by the likes of AOC, Cori Bush, Rashida Tlaib, and the rest of the terrorist squad up in D.C.? I mean, it's a damn shame, as Oliver Anthony would say, where not only where this nation is heading, but the devolution of politics today. I mean, you can't even go out and say, yeah, we stand by the people of Israel. Before you can even open your mouth to give reasons why, you're called a racist, a xenophobe, a terrorist supporter. What are they saying now, that you're involved in mass executions? Like, give me a break. This is something Rob Carter and I had talked about just this past week when I stood in for the legendary and award-winning Vic Porcelli. The past 2 weeks, I was on his show, had Rob Carter on about 2 weeks ago, and we discussed the pleasure of actually having debates, having conversations with individuals that we may not disagree, or we may not agree with. I think that's how we learn as a society. That's how we grow as a nation, by fostering debate. Because I'm not always right. And I've admitted that in the Missouri House and the Missouri Senate that I am open for discussion on anything. But when it comes to pro-life issues, pro-constitutional issues, pro-gun issues, there's a lot of stuff that's on my website, nickschroer.com, that I'm telling you, I'm stuck in the mud. I've done the research. Here's where I am. But everything else is pretty much free game. If it deals with federalism, free markets, protecting the original intent of the U.S. Constitution, I'm there. But let's have a debate. In my short time in the Missouri legislature, we've gone away from that. We've gone away from actual debates. And who can sling the most mud? Who can spread the most BS around to get the most clicks online? I mean, look no further than what happened this year. We're looking back on 2023 throughout this show. Look back no further than, I think it was September. August, September, something like that. And there was a Freedom Fest in St. Charles County. Freedom Fest with a lot of different elected officials. There were police there, sheriffs there, a lot of constituents there, a lot of just we the people grassroots supporters at this this Freedom Fest, auctioning off different baskets of sorts. One of the things was a flamethrower. People could actually buy tickets in a blind raffle. You had a chance to win. Like similar fundraisers at the Central Committee in different Republican groups in this area, St. Charles County, it's a suburb outside of St. Louis, just like former fundraisers they had involving guns, people would just jump right up. I mean, there was a gun that was being raffled off there too. And if you're one of the anti-gunners, don't worry, you still got to go to the gun store, fill out a 4473, the background check, before you are awarded a gun. But back to the flamethrower, nobody was buying the tickets. So Senator Eigel, the senior senator from our county, St. Charles County, and myself were asked, can you just show these things off? It was about the size of a laptop. And you just shoot it off into a big heaping pile of cardboard boxes. The same cardboard boxes that helped bring the food. They carried the food to this event. Carried all of the different supplies to that event. Auction items that were there that will not be put back in those boxes. They'll be given to whoever's winning them. So we burn these cardboard boxes, and the liberals on social media, they're not worried about facts anymore. I mean, whatever happened to, no, Trump's spreading fake news. Trump's the one spreading fake news. No, you're not worried about facts anymore. You're worried about clicks. You're worried about becoming the popular story on social media. And after about, what, 30 million on just one alone, on one fake story alone, that's when the fact checkers came out. But that just shows you right there, that story where we had news reporters from New York, from France, from other countries contacting us over this heinous allegation that Senator Eigel and I, in front of police and all, were burning books. Well, who's spreading the fake news? Who's spreading the fear and the propaganda? Who's spreading the BS on 2023, much like what we saw back in the 1800s when Abraham Lincoln was taken off of ballots in 10 states by Democrats? It's the Democrats doing it. And I'm not poking fun at you. I'm spitting the truth. I mean, we don't see. Oh, yeah, you could probably pick one or two people that are online stirring the pot. But we don't see the same type of fear and lies being spread by Republicans. I don't, at least. I mean, you've even got friggin' George Santos that was involved in all these heinous things and spending money the wrong way, misusing money, and he's spilling the beans on everything that's happening in Congress. But I don't believe a word out of any of those people's mouths, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why in a little bit. Let me get back to Maine, because I got it sitting right here in front of me. Did you know, and I didn't know this, the Secretary of State in Maine, unlike here, the Secretary of State in the state of Missouri, Jay Ashcroft, son of former Governor John Ashcroft, he's elected. He is on the ballot. You got to campaign. You got to go through a primary. You got to go through the general election. The people have a say in who they're voting for. But in the state of Maine, the Secretary of State is elected biannually by a ballot of members of both the House and the main legislature. I think probably the Senate too. It says both houses of the main legislature, House and the Senate, and they get to decide. So the people that are elected in the House and the Senate, they're picking who the Secretary of State is. This is somebody that the people in Maine did not cast a ballot for. This is an unelected bureaucrat. And to say that, it's kind of weird because you are elected in the state of Missouri if you're going to be the Secretary of State, if you're going to be Lieutenant Governor, if you're going to be Governor. You're elected. You put your name on a ballot. You were vetted by the people in the state of Missouri. In Maine, that's not the case. And that's where I think this gets a little bit weird when you have this liberal by the name of Sheena Bellows. She's been in office since 2021. You can do your research and find an assortment of pictures with her saying that she's a defender of democracy. She's also in pictures with Biden, Obama, and all the different swamp creatures of the Democrat Party. Don't worry, we've got swamp creatures too in the Republican Party. But you can see her cozied up with none other than Joe Biden. And this is election interference. I mean, definitional election interference when you have an unelected bureaucrat. And don't worry about her being Secretary of State, because I had to get over that too. Me thinking Secretary of State, I'm thinking, oh, she was elected. No, she was picked by legislative members. The people of Maine never saw her on a ballot for Secretary of State. She unilaterally says, well, this is how I define the Constitution. Donald Trump's off because he's a criminal. No courts involved. People aren't involved. Voters aren't involved. But an unelected, left-wing, regressive Democrat, Sheena Bellows, elected by her peers, I guess you could say, elected by legislative members, says Trump's not going to be on the ballot. Now, just walk with me here. If this was a different scenario, if you had let's just take Obama. If you had a Republican that was not elected by the people, was an unelected bureaucrat, Republican, taking Obama off of the ballot, do you think there'd be a little bit of outrage? Do you think that all of that information that I just gave you would be on every single headline across America, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, all of them? You're damn right it would be. But since this doesn't fit their agenda, it's Orange Man being taken off by somebody who's a defender of democracy. That's why it doesn't fit their agenda. And that's the crap that I want to, looking forward, that is a resolution of mine. When we see the bias, when we see all of the garbage that the current mainstream media is pushing forth, and if they're not consistent, we need to call them out. We, the people, we are the ones that actually have the power. Let me remind you, we run the government. We elect the people. Well, not Maine. Not Maine, if you're talking about the Secretary of State. But let's just focus on Missouri. We elect the people. If there's a problem with how they're voting, if there's a problem with what they're standing for or not standing for, speak up. That's why we called this show Stand and Fight. Because it took one person going back to, 2010, I guess you could say, 2010, 2011. I think it was 2011. It took one person to stand up in a constitutional law class to say that extending Roe v. Wade to the point of allowing kids to be murdered up until the point of birth goes against everything that I know about protecting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that person was me. Nobody else would stand up to make that argument. But after I did, after I made that argument and debated in constitutional law class, I mean, never debating anything in my life, I was always one that said, hey, religion, politics, let's not talk about that. That's going to get us arguing. No, peace, love, and happiness. And if you know me now, that's kind of weird to think. Nick Schroer at one point was this guy that did not want to be dealing with controversial issues. But here we are. Because after that class, 2011, after that class where I stood for the right to life, where I stood for the Constitution and the original intent of the Constitution, Because Roe v. Wade is the right to an abortion is nowhere within the Constitution. This right to privacy that the court during Roe, and I think even Ginsburg would stand with us when you look back, and she says, God rest her soul, whatever you think about her, she says that Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided. So after I left that class, other members came to me saying, oh, I'm glad you said that. I wanted to. And I hear that same mindset happening today in 2023. Well, we just want somebody else to stand and fight. We just want somebody else to call out whatever party, Republican or Democrat, on the BS that's going on. We just want somebody else to do it so we can applaud them. We can retweet them. We can like their statement. But here's a challenge to you all. Why can't you do it? Why can't you use your voice? Why can't you stand and fight and call people like Sheena Bellows for her shredding of the U.S. Constitution? Call them out. Because we're in this together. We are the generation that our founders talked about that is one generation away from losing this republic. We're here. We're in it. So hopefully you'll stick with me these next couple rounds. This is the last Sunday of 2023. And I'm damn happy you're with me.
Stand and fight with Nick Schroer.
I guess that's just the cowboy in me.
SR1 Sundays. Stand and fight with Nick Schroer.
Here is President Biden's energy policy in a nutshell. First, we're going to stop producing our own oil. Then we're going to buy oil from foreign countries that hate us so those foreign countries can have more money to buy weapons to try to kill us. Sometimes I think President Biden is more concerned about the best cure for toenail fungus than he is about saving American jobs. Please tell the Commander-in-Chief that neither my car nor the greatest economy in all of human history runs on fairy dust and unicorn gear. To the whole thing. It's like his team has put together their Middle East policy with vodka and darts.
I love that guy. Senator Kennedy, thank you for being a star in 2023. Welcome back to round three. Ring the bell, Phil. Let's get her going. And if I die today, because I'm having these fits. I've got that cough that won't go away. The Wuhan flu is evolving, I guess. And this cough that I've had for a month and a half. So if you hear me coughing, I apologize. I mean no troubles here. However, Senator Kennedy had me rolling during his diatribe there. And I've got more. Because the thing that really pushes my buttons this year is the attack on our border. Or just ignoring the border altogether. And here recently, Senator Kennedy was on, I think it was with Kayleigh McEnany, discussing a little bit of what's happening at our border. Senator Kennedy, take it away.
Louisiana Senator John Kennedy sits on the Judiciary Committee. He joins me now. Senator Kennedy, so Biden's DOJ wants to stop Abbott from protecting the people of Texas. And then House Speaker Mike Johnson had this to say about that meeting that Mayorkas had down in Mexico. At a time when America is experiencing the worst border crisis in our nation's history, it is unconscionable to hear that the Biden administration's announcement that they discussed with the president of Mexico amnesty for illegal immigrants. So they go down to Mexico to discuss amnesty.
Kayleigh, last Saturday, President Biden blamed the media for his unpopularity.
Now, wait a second. This is Senator Kennedy, who has always got a quip. He's always got a very wise but funny one-liner. And you can tell how ticked off he is. I mean, look, we're going into the end of the year. This is year three, almost going on year four of the Biden presidency, a guy who's been in office longer than I've been alive. And he still doesn't have the wherewithal to understand what he's doing at the border is destroying our nation. Kennedy's a little bit ticked off, which this is a different side Which, yeah, as much as I love the one-liners, I want to see a little bit more of this this gruff and tough, ready to roll version of Senator Kennedy.
The truth is that most members of the media have tried to help him. In my state, for example, our two largest newspapers are run by members of the loon wing of the Democratic Party, and they publish accordingly. But in Louisiana, President Biden is about as popular as herpes. Why is that? Two reasons. Number one.
Hold on. I don't even know if I can rewind this thing. This is, again.
By members of the loon wing of the Democratic Party, and they publish accordingly.
What did you say?
But in Louisiana, President Biden is about as popular as herpes.
I'm going to die, I tell you. This cough that I have stopped making me laugh, but it's no laughing matter, honest to God. Because if you look to one of the states right next to where we are here in the St. Louis metropolitan area in Missouri, SR1 Studios, the last time we're probably going to be in here for a while, because this next year we're going to have the brand new studios all to ourselves at News Talk STL. So we're going to have different guests in, but as we're here right across the river, Illinois, did you all know, didn't get reported, it's been, I think, about 6 months since the Illinois legislature passed this provision, which will mandate, it'll mandate that landlords, private landlords of houses, apartments, have to rent or sell to illegal immigrants. The Center Square, this article comes out of the Center Square, states that more than 11, now this is 6 months ago, 11,000 migrants, illegal immigrants, from Central and South America have arrived in Illinois since last August. Now, these are some of the individuals that St. Louis is wanting to bring in. Some of these people on the St. Charles County Council are wanting to bring in. These are the people that are part of this parole program that Mayorkas illegally expanded. It used to just be for minor little issues, minor individuals, rarely ever used. Mayorkas expands it. Now you've got Tashara Jones teaming up with a whack job mayor in New York or in Chicago. Not yet New York. We'll get there. Trying to bring some of these illegal immigrants here. And they're trying to say, well, they've been vetted. No, they have not. And that's why the attorney general in the state of Missouri and 20 plus other states are suing to stop this from happening and sending all these people back. Because they unlawfully expanded this program. The vetting process is not there. And that's why you now have all of these immigrants flooding the streets of New York, flooding the streets of Chicago. But this bill, this new law in Illinois, states that landowners, private landowners, will be forced to rent, I guess because they've ran out of spots with their five-star hotels that all these illegal immigrants are staying in. They're now going to be forced to rent or sell their property to illegal immigrants. Now, look, a legal immigration process is what brought parts of my family here, probably parts of your family. Legal process. And for a long time, there was a benefit. There were many benefits to becoming a legal resident, a legal American. But where are we now? You have states that if you're an illegal immigrant, you can get food stamps. If you're an illegal immigrant, you can have voting rights. If you're an illegal immigrant, you can get your license. You can become a police officer. You get free phones, free internet. You can live in a five-star hotel, you and your whole family. And guess what? If you're bringing in IEDs, if you're smuggling drugs, if you're smuggling people, we'll tell you that's bad, but then we'll just send you out into the American population. Now they're forcing private landlords. Remember that right to life, liberty, and property that we discussed earlier? What's happening to it? What benefit do we have now of being legal Americans, legal citizens, as opposed to just going down to the border and trying to sneak in and get all these benefits, reap all these benefits. That's what we need. We need Eric Michael to go to the border, figure out if he can sneak into Mexico or sneak into Canada. How hard is it to sneak into a country around us, Mexico, Canada, as opposed to coming in from the other side? Because I think we're probably the only nation, one of the only nations, certainly the biggest nation, most powerful nation that doesn't have borders. We really have no process here. Come and go as you please. And now in New York, said I was going to get to it. New York, we're seeing the mayor. The mayor is talking about how they basically kept from the public's view how bad the situation was. They kept from the public's eye how dire the situation was, that now they're at a breaking point, they say, with their immigrants. Now, here's a guy who ran for mayor, who is showing you how depleted the streets are right now. The people are moving out. The immigrants are coming in. Illegal immigrants. Legal immigration is what we need to focus on. Legal immigration is what we need to embrace. Illegal immigration and the crap done by Mayorkas and the Biden administration is leading to this.
This is something you'll never see in the middle of a day. Third Avenue in New York City. This is the future when everybody leaves and heads to Florida. They're on their way to Texas, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. Look, there's nobody back there because they've all fled the city, and it'll be a city only of criminals, homeless, emotionally disturbed, and migrants. I am Nostradamus. I see what's coming in 2024. Vast sea of emptiness.
Curtis Silva, who was, I think, a Republican that ran. He's got the little red beret. I don't know why he does that. to each his own. But he is demonstrating that the streets in New York, something I've never even seen, the streets that are that bare. I mean, he's standing in the middle of this massive street in New York City. And when I was just there several years ago, right before COVID, all of the streets were jam-packed. I mean, to take an Uber four blocks away, it took like triple the time that it was just walk. The streets were jam-packed back then. And it's a telling story right now, looking at how illegal immigration has been impacting these cities. Now, you've got the mayors of Chicago wanting to continue to spread these people around. But, and I don't even know how I feel about this, so bear with me. You got Governor Abbott saying, no, we're going to send them to Chicago. We're going to send them to New York. And look, I understand that that is a counterpunch to put them in their spot, to say, look, if you support open borders, if you support sanctuary cities, if you are a sanctuary city, take them. But now you have those cities sending them to our backyard, the illegal immigrants. Here's one of the stories that broke towards the end of the year.
A plane that may have been unexpected, filled with dozens of migrants, landed last night at O'Hare. It came from El Paso with a message from Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott's office acknowledges that he chartered that plane in direct response to recent efforts by the city of Chicago to target and fine what it has called rogue buses that have dropped off asylum seekers outside of the city's designated drop-off location. The Governor Abbott's press secretary released that statement, which read in part, quote, because Mayor Johnson is failing to live up to the city's welcoming city ordinance by targeting migrant buses from Texas, we are expanding our operation to include flights to Chicago.
Now, hold on. How does this even happen? Because in the Missouri legislature, there was this massive push to make us a real ID state. And again, I don't think the federal government, this is why I voted against the damn thing. The federal government doesn't have the right to come in and dictate what we do with our licenses, especially with a friggin' driver's license. So now you're getting all of this information. You won't let us on planes domestically even unless we have a real ID or a passport. And we have stories coming out towards the end of the year, weeks ago, that there are illegal immigrants getting on these planes with packets of information that don't have their ID, that don't have a real ID, that don't have a passport. And again, what benefit do we have as legal Americans that have abided by all of the laws on the books, probably except for speeding or rolling a stop sign. But we have abided by all of these laws. There is no benefit. And now we have illegal immigrants getting all of those perks that I just said. Now you can fly across the nation to a city near you without having to go through and stand 4 hours with 15 pieces of information to verify who you are. It's a damn shame. I don't know where this is going to go in 2024, but why can't we just send these people back to wherever it is? I mean, if we're going to charter a plane to send them here, St. Louis, Chicago, California, New York, wherever it is, can't we work together to send them back unless there's some dire war zone that they're fleeing? Because these pictures that you keep seeing of thousands of military-aged males coming into our nation, telling these journalists, Rebel News is one, telling them where they're going, it just doesn't seem right. And then now it's coming to our own backyard. And look, as a dad, as a state senator, we have to keep our people safe. And the way this is happening now, where you're hearing that a lot of these illegal immigrants aren't even being tested for a lot of diseases we've eradicated over the years. Could we see a lot of this stuff coming back? Don't know. 2024 is going to be a tricky, tricky little year, as there's a lot of, I don't know what's going to happen, whether it's Trump, illegal immigration, you name it. But rest assured, we're going to be covering all of it here on SR1 Sundays, News Talk STL, 101.9, 94.1. Don't go anywhere, because we're still standing, still fighting for another hour.
Stand and fight with Nick Schwartz.
And then she climbed.
Rob Carter Show.
Do you have tree problems and nobody to call? This is Rob Carter from the Rob Carter Show. Let me tell you about our sponsors at River City Tree Service. They do tree removal, tree trimming, anything trees. You got a stump to remove, they'll take care of it. Great sponsors, great guys. Give them a call if you need any tree service, 314-270-8071, or you can reach them at rivercitytreeservice.com. Once again, River City Tree Service, 314-270-8071.
Stand and Fight with Nick Schroer.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
Welcome back to another round here on SR1 Sundays, News Talk STL, 101.9, 94.1. All the good numbers. And did you know that this lady, I might be the only one, was 13 years old when she sang this song? I had no idea. I thought it was like a 75-year-old woman singing those beautiful songs of Christmas. But here we are, 2023, never ceases to amaze me. I grew a brain cell when I found out she was only 13. Didn't know, but that's what we do here on Stand and Fight, round four. Phil, ring the bell. We provide the news and we provide intellect so you can go share in your community. Well, speaking of the community, we had to bring it up again. We've got, since October, the Border Patrol has stated nearly 1 million illegal encounters. What the hell does that mean? Encounters since October. Is that a million people have actually come into the United States that they found out about? Does that include the ones that the gotaways that they say that they've seen come in and have left? I don't know, man. To me, how is this not one of the most important issues? And like I said on Vic Porcelli's show this past week, this is one of those I told you so moments. And I want to give credit where credit's due, but I can't remember who first broke this. I guess you would say conspiracy theory. But if you look at the news cycle, there's all of these different issues that pop up that we just get so enthralled with for a long time. And earlier this year, on this show, on this network, go back to Rumble, listen to all of them. I'll give you a cookie if you can tell me which show it was. But that's when I disclosed the next big thing leading into the election will be the illegal immigration and the impact that it's having on these big cities. And I think at that time, I think when we broke that, that was when the mayor of New York was first saying, oh, well, yeah, I don't know why Governor Abbott's sending all these people here, but we'll take care of them. Now they're saying they're at a breaking point. They're at a breaking point with the illegal immigration. And even, you know, we talked about the planes that were being flown around. We talked about what's happening at the border. Here's another tidbit. It seems like every day a story like this breaks across national news.
Buses full of migrants have been showing up at metro stations and simply leaving them there.
Saturday morning, migrants seen getting off a bus from Texas and onto a metro train at the Westmont station. Asmel Raul Diaz-Vasquez was one of the passengers on board. His final destination is Chicago, but the driver dropped them nearly 30 miles away. This isn't the only group left miles away from the city. In the past week, NBC5 confirmed it's happened in Elburn, Manhattan, Kankakee, Joliet, Westmont, Lockport, Fox River Grove, and Aurora. In at least two incidents, the bus drivers told migrants they made it to Chicago. In reality, in Kankakee, migrants were left at a gas station at 4:30 in the morning. Police received calls they were wrapped in blankets and walking on highways and expressways without food, money, or adequate clothing.
That's the Democrat Party for you today. That's the 2023 Democrat Party for you today. All talk, no action. According to Governor Abbott, that's why he's saying he's not sending them via bus anymore throughout our nation. And again, I don't know how I feel about that anymore. When it first happened, hell yeah, give it to them, stick it to them, let them, you know, put their money where their mouth is, so to speak. But now seeing how big of an issue this is, seeing what's happening in Dublin, what's happening in France, what's happening across the world with the illegal immigration, the beheadings, the stabbings, the murders, the drug trafficking, the human trafficking. Don't really know how I feel about that anymore. Isn't there an alternative? Well, you would think that there is, and we'll get to that in just a second, what the Biden administration is threatening to do to anyone that's going to stand up and fight back. Stand and fight. But back to this story. The Governor Abbott, Governor Texas, is saying that that's why he's putting them on planes now to actually get them to Chicago. Because leadership, Pritzker, the mayor of Chicago, are demanding that no more illegal immigrants come into their city. So they're making them get dropped off at gas stations 30, 40, 50 miles away from Chicago, lying to these people saying, yeah, you're here, you're home. Joliet, Illinois. Aurora, Illinois. Now, it's not Chicago, but here you are. But that is the modern day Democrat Party. All talk, no action. And when their plan starts to come to fruition, hey, you want more illegals? You want to be a sanctuary city? Here you go. Take care of them now. Well, what happens? They get stranded. They're walking on highways, no food, no water, in the dead of winter. It's shocking. It is shocking to see that this is still going on in 2023. I mean, even look back to what happened just weeks ago. Human trafficking, human slavery in St. Charles County, when you had three immigrants from India that have legal businesses here entice one of the gentlemen that they were all living with, entice one of their nephews to come from India to America with the promise they're going to send him to college, but they kept him in the basement, beat him up. I mean, again, 2023, this is the last Sunday of the year. It's been a weird one. It's been a weird one, but we're going to focus on some good things here in a second after we hear stupid news.
Stupid news.
We're in the show me state, Missouri. Show me something good, Missouri, because in the 18 years I lived there, you never did.
I'm from Missouri. It's fine.
So there's this place in St. Louis, okay? It used to be the city jail. It got shut down last year, and it's not been in use since then. It's just been sitting there. Last week, three silly gooses broke into this place. They're just having fun, clowning around, LOLing, LMAOing, and then they accidentally locked themselves inside of a cell.
Whoops!
They couldn't break free, so they called 911. The cops show up, the three men get rescued. The irony, they found themselves in handcuffs. So far, the men are looking at trespassing charges, but the police are investigating. They're trying to figure out what else these guys did.
That was Ann Julie Baker on social media. I guess she lived here before. Sounds like somebody who's been in news previously. So speaking of stupid news, we should have our own segment, because over the Christmas break, over the Christmas holiday, you probably didn't hear what was happening in New York. You know, we set the stage with all this illegal immigration, and now the mayor is just, oh, we're at our wit's end. We don't know what to do. I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that on Christmas, New York City had to move to a level 3 police mobilization as pro-Palestine supporters, pro-Hamas supporters, chanting long live the Intifada and Christmas is canceled, storm Manhattan while mob surrounds Pentagon and NSA chiefs' homes amid a nationwide anti-Israel protest. You can look at all these videos that you have to dig through. Can't find them. Daily Mail's got a link to a couple of them. So if you go to Daily Mail and look at the story of the NYC moving to a level 3 police mobilization, this will link you to stories and videos of large crowds descending on homes of Biden administration officials, chanting that Christmas is canceled, getting in fights with police. Wonder if that's why. Wonder if that's why the mayor is saying enough is enough. Well, guess what? Mayor of New York, we've been dealing with this as Americans for quite some time. We've been dealing with not only the crazy Hamas supporters, we've been dealing with illegal immigration, especially at our border, and how that is siphoning a lot of the resources that those cities, those states have directed toward law enforcement. We've been dealing with the radical wing of the Democrat Party, the regressive part of the Democrat Party, that there's no talking to. There's no talking with them. And instead, they're going to protest, burn things down like they did in Ferguson, like they did in Washington, D.C. when Trump was inaugurated. Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to those individuals being charged with all of the things that the J6ers did? I mean, you're trying to stop a peaceful transition of power, trying to burn down the damn city, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. Insurrection? Nah, not on that day. But leave it to the guys that the police opened the doors, gave them tours of the Capitol. Those are the insurrectionists. I mean, make this make sense. Another resolution for 2024. Man, I'm hoping we can make a lot more sense out of the political garbage. I'm hoping that we can focus on what is more bread and circus and what is actual things that we need to zero in on to make our lives better, to protect the U.S. Constitution. But allowing this flood of immigrants into places like Illinois, into New York, just like what we saw over Christmas, they're not assimilating. They're not respecting the culture of Americans. And we're going to see a hell of a lot more of it, because the Biden administration is even threatening to go after and threatening to sue Texas. Texas just passed this law, I think it was this year, that basically provides, if you were there illegally, now their state police will have mechanism and tools to vet you, to figure out if you're an illegal immigrant, and it will be a crime to enter their state unlawfully. But the Biden administration is saying that they will react, they will sue, and they will try to stop Texas from protecting its own borders. Again, make this make sense. It took forever and a day for the courts to say that, yeah, Texas does have the right, pursuant to the U.S. Constitution, pursuant to their state constitution, to protect their borders, especially when they're under an invasion. But now you have the Biden administration, after the court does that, Biden administration says they're going to sue if Texas makes a decision within their borders to protect their people and uphold their laws. How is that not mainstream news everywhere. How is that not mainstream news when we also have Biden officials talking about the flood of illegal immigrants, the flood of unvetted individuals is likely going to lead to this next year?
2024 may be the year of a black swan event. This is a national security event with high impact that's very hard to predict. There are a number of concerns that I have that factor into that. And not only this sort of enduring heightened threat level that we're facing, the wars in Israel, also Ukraine. And we're so divided in this country in ways that we haven't seen before. And I think that just creates fertile ground for our adversaries like North Korea, China, and Iran. And that's what concerns me most.
Have you not been listening to us? Have you not been listening that we've told you this is what they want? This is what the anti-Americans, this is what whoever the hell hates us, whether it be North Korea, China, Iran, you name it. This is what they want. United we stand, divided we fall. When we can link you to stories of millions of dollars coming in from China, going into the curriculum of public schools in the United States, China paying to educate our kids, China paying to divide us and teach our kids that our nation is not only flawed, because look, we are flawed. No one is perfect. But when you are dividing our kids and making them hate Republicans, making them hate the history of this nation, giving them a fictional version of this nation, I'm not for that. And it's exactly when you look into the Rules for Radicals, when you read the Communist Manifesto, and I've read that garbage, so you don't have to, but that is the playbook that they are implementing. The oppressed versus the oppressors. Well, why? Because it's easier when we are not attached, when we are not embracing American exceptionalism. When we hate our nation, when we hate the people in our nation, when you hate your own color of your skin, like some of this garbage curriculum is trying to brainwash our kids into believing, it's easier to chip away. It's easier to inject hate that will make America fall. And that's why I've said we are in that generation that our founders discussed. One generation from losing the Republic. One generation away from losing liberty, freedom. And we're here, folks. Tim Jones, good friend of mine, he's radio host, former Speaker of the House. He mentioned the other day that this is not the time for statesmanship. It's not the time for the Mitt Romneys to play kumbaya. This is the time for trench warfare to save this republic, to save the nation, to save the dream, to save the rights, the constitutional rights that my grandparents went to war for. My one grandpa, a Marine Corps sniper in the Korean War. My other grandpa, Army Air Corps, turned into the Air Force. And that was in World War II. Go back even further, and I have family members that fought in the Revolutionary War. This is what our founders intended, for us to stand up and fight to protect the American dream.
Stand and fight with Nick Schwartz. SR1 Sundays. Stand and fight with Nick Schwartz.
Mind stealing bread from the miles of decadence.
A resolution recognizing the year 2023 as the Taylor Swift era in Pennsylvania.
What the hell?
You cannot be serious!
Welcome back to another round here on SR1 Sunday's News Talk STL. Ring the bell. I think we're on round five. I don't know. I'm getting ready for the big ball to drop. Yeah, get your mind out of the gutter. I'm talking about the new year coming. Yeah, so Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania spends, from what the pundits have said, who calculated how long the legislators were debating that garbage, spent, I think it was like $700,000 to pay for the salaries of all the elected officials that were debating a resolution in Pennsylvania, I think it was $609,000 that taxpayers in Pennsylvania spent to enact a resolution for Taylor Swift era 2023. No, I'll tell you right now, not going to happen.
Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture.
In the state of Missouri. But what is happening is something kind of similar. There's a bill that's been filed. And I am not making this up. This is one of the crazy points of 2023. Pennsylvania's got their Taylor Swift era. Missouri has the Senate Bill 1278, which designates this state as the Love Me State. The Love Me State. Senator Carla May, a Democrat out of the city of St. Louis, rather than focusing on crime, drugs, businesses fleeing, lack of education, she files a bill to designate the state as the Love Me State. I'm gonna pull up the bill text. I've only seen this story and just basically what the bill does. It designates the Love Me State as the official state slogan of the state of Missouri. I'm trying to find it. I don't think that the language of the bill is up on the, is up on the website yet. It was filed this past week on the 21st, but I rest assured, we are not going to be spending, wasting taxpayer dollars on that type of madness. Designating the state the Love Me State? What the hell does that mean? What does that mean? And what does it do? What does it do to protect the life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, life, liberty, and property of the constituents of the state of Missouri? When we have out-of-state millionaires from California, from New York, from Illinois, from even Texas, trying to change our state constitution, I see that as an attack. I think that's an attack on our sovereign rights, on our constitution. When you have people, billionaires from out of state, changing a state's constitution where they don't even live, they don't even do any business here. We have to stop that from happening. We have to empower the people once again while protecting our borders from outside attacks, whether that be an invasion of individuals or an injection of money to change our rights in our constitution. Does the Love Me State bill do that? No, it does not. It probably wants to be injected with something else. I can't pull up the language, but on its face, we don't need to be spending time on that. We need to be finding ways to give educational opportunities to kids like I used to be, like I was in Ferguson, Missouri, going to a failing public school district. My parents had to work way longer than they should, way more than they should, extra hours, extra jobs to provide me the opportunity, first one in my family, to go to a private school. When I was spending more time fighting in school with peers, defending myself instead of learning, instead of opening books, I was clenching fists. That's when they put me in a private school. And not saying I'm perfect, I'm not going to brag on where I went, but you should at least have that same ability for kids in the inner city of St. Louis. Drive through downtown St. Louis and count all of the different buildings that are vacant or used to be a public school, used to be a school. Where are the educational opportunities there? You look at different parts of our state, the more suburban parts of our state. You have private schools, you have public schools, you have charter schools. I mean, you have a variety of options, even homeschooling. But what do they have in these inner cities? And we do it. We have some Republicans that on the record have said, let St. Louis burn. They're all Democrats, let them. No, I'm not of that mindset. Does the Love Me State bill, does that fix all of those issues? I don't know, maybe it does. Maybe if we go back to a Love Me Tender, maybe that'll fix all of our problems. Turning a blind eye on this garbage will not fix the problems that real Americans, real Missourians face on a daily basis. when we're paying damn near double at the grocery store and not making any more money, when we're paying more at the gas pumps and not making any more money, we need officials that will stand the hell up when it's right, not when it's convenient for them, not when they're going to get some accolades during the election season. And look, something's happening in the state of Missouri right now that even the Freedom Caucus is zeroing in on. We got over the weekend, we got some updates from the governor's office that this next week or next 2 weeks, whenever it is, the governor of the state of Missouri, Mike Parson, is going to be signing an executive order banning the sale of Missouri farmland to China.
China. China.
Don't you just miss how he says that? Like, a sidebar real quick. The things that Donald Trump would say, whether you agree with them or not, and if you're one of the people that were just annoyed by his very breath, then go to bed.
Let's say China.
It's probably too late for you to be listening to the show anyways.
China.
China. I mean, China.
Come
China,
on. China. You can't get any better
China,
than that.
China. China.
But back China. to reality. But when you've got people going to the grocery stores and can't even afford the same lifestyle that they had just a couple years ago, and you're attacked for exercising your First Amendment rights. You're attacked for believing that you have Second Amendment rights. And your candidate for president is being stripped of the ability to be on ballots across the state or across the United States when he believed he had constitutional rights. I mean, here's an old clip. I play these all the damn time. Here's an old clip from, I think, the 50s, talking about the necessity of a higher power, a necessity of Christianity to lead us and guide us in our decisions.
We believe that true morality is impossible without a firm religious base. And when I say true morality, I mean doing what is right just because it's right and for no other reason. Doing what is right, even though it may be to our disadvantage, even though it may cost us our very lives to do so. But unless our concept of what is right stems from religious convictions, unless it comes from a divine source outside of and bigger than ourselves, who would be willing to make such a sacrifice? This, of course, is the reason why our nation was founded on the religious principle of deism, a firm belief in God as a creator. The very first sentence in the Declaration of Independence refers to God as the authority for that action. But the key to why this is important is found further along in the words, "All men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." You see, if our rights are not endowed by our Creator, what then is their origin? There's only one other source, the government. Now, if we deny the existence of God in our political institutions, then we must accept the premise that government is the source of our rights. But if we accept that premise, then we must accept the corollary, that if government can grant rights, it also has the power to take them away.
Now, that's the type of history that we need to be taught in our schools. Instead of this Dr. LeGarrette King, all whites are the devil, you can't get ahead in life if you have a dark complexion of your skin. We actually need a true reading of history. And yeah, it's a bitter pill to swallow that the Democrat Party was the one that supported slavery. The Democrat Party was the one that kicked Abraham Lincoln off of the ballot in 10 states in 1860. That the Democrat Party was the one that founded the KKK, that established Jim Crow laws. The list goes on. They fought against civil rights until it was convenient for them. Like it is right now for the governor who's signing this executive order that he could have done a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Could have signed that executive order at any time. But there are two individuals at the Freedom Caucus on their, I think it's at Mo Freedom Caucus. They point out a bill that was, I think, voted on in 2013, 2014, dealing with China being able to purchase farmland here in the state of Missouri. And as the Freedom Caucus points out, there were two individuals that are in office today that voted in favor of that. Now, I haven't verified, I haven't pulled up the records to see if everything matches. But at the time, I firmly believe that Lieutenant Governor Kehoe and Governor Parson were in the Senate. And as the allegation goes, they voted in favor of this bill, a Smithfield bill, which would allow these Chinese corporations to buy farmland here in the state of Missouri. And there was a big push several years ago calling out anyone who voted in favor of those bills to make amends and make it right and stop this from happening. So why is it after all of these other governors are signing executive orders, Sarah Huckabee Sanders and many others saying, no, we're done. No more China buying our farmlands after all the crap that you've stated you hate about our nation, that you want us to be dust, you want to be the superpower in the world, not doing it anymore. Why didn't the governor sign the executive order back then? Similarly, as the Freedom Caucus points out, why didn't either one of those officials, the lieutenant governor and the governor, why didn't Mike Kehoe or Mike Parson use their bully pulpit, use their position of power to support any number of bills that would prohibit the sale of Missouri farmland to foreign entities? Why didn't they use their positions to testify on bills, to educate the public on these bills, or support them, or encourage other legislators to support them as these bills were being killed through the process year after year? So it's kind of convenient. It's kind of convenient that we're now seeing right before an election. And I don't know if this means anything or not, but you've got Governor Mike Parson standing with Governor Kehoe. If they did vote on this bill years ago to allow this to happen, it's convenient that right now, when one's running for re-election for a higher office, that they're standing together saying they've got the solution. Well, if this was the solution, why did it take so long? Why is it taking so long for people like Republicans to realize we need to protect our businesses, we need to protect our rights? And it's very telling when a guy who had a stroke, while he's regaining more brain power and brain function, he's becoming more conservative than some of the Republicans in the state of Missouri.
Standing on the roof of my home right here in Braddock, Pennsylvania, right across the street from the Edgar Thompson plant. And I just have to say, it's absolutely outrageous that they have sold themselves to a foreign nation and a company. Can't do that. Steel is always about security as well, too. And I am committed to doing anything I can do from using my platform or my position in order to block this. And I'm going to fight for the steel workers and their union way of life here as well, too.
Yeah, I'm telling you, 2023 was incredibly weird when you have John Fetterman being the voice of common sense within the Democrat Party. I don't know. Maybe it's by design. I don't know. But it scares the hell out of me when we've got Republicans that can't stand up and a guy that's had a stroke that was labeled as, you know, this progressive anarchist is actually doing more to protect our borders, to protect our rights, to protect our businesses, and to protect our people than some Republicans when it's inconvenient for them to do so. Well, let's keep standing. Let's keep fighting whenever it's convenient. When it's not convenient, remember our rights, remember our founders and what they intended for this nation. We got another round, the last round of standing and fighting in 2023. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss it.
Stand and fight with Nick Schroeder.
China.
Stand and fight with Nick Schroeder.
Welcome back to the last and final round of 2023 here on Newstalk STLS R1 Sundays. Man, I just jumped off the charts there. I'm running the board this time.
You're the man.
We got the doctor.
You're the man.
The doctor himself of Thugonomics.
So proud of you, man.
I'm growing. Maybe 2023 or 2024, I can actually figure out what the hell I'm doing. Just
you're mixing it up, man.
Shooting from the hip. So what we do here on Stand and Fight. I forgot who I was for a second.
Stand and
Eric
Fight.
Eric Michael is still in the basement. He can't find himself out, and I think he's getting ready. He's probably putting on drag or something for the big New Year's party that we haven't planned.
Yeah, yeah. He's probably working out the details.
Working out the kinks. So what do you got planned for the New Year ball dropping? Are you just going to bed?
Oh, man,
you gonna pop some champagne?
I have never ever been into New Year's Eve like as the party thing. I've gone into the countdown things. I always miss all that stuff. So I'll probably be you know, in the studio somewhere, just connecting wires and cleaning up after all you kids.
Do you have to be in the studio the entire night, or are you just saying, hey, let it happen?
Right. I'm just going to let it happen. Right.
Burn it down.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Well, hopefully we don't burn down the new studio.
Right.
Quite yet.
Right.
So I wanted to get your opinion on this. I brought it up. I forgot all about it. I don't think I've mentioned it to you, to Eric, to any of the guys at News Talk. Looking forward to 2024. What do you, as a taxpayer, you hear about all this political crap happening all day long. What do you think we should be focusing on going into this next session?
Well, I like what Bill Eigel's talking about, going after taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, property taxes, personal property tax, I guess, is the main target, right? Everybody's excited about that discussion. And I think what you guys are doing in general, holding the Republicans in Jeff City accountable for their actions as elected Republicans, and I guess stop behaving like they are more, I guess more left-leaning, I guess, in their politics. It seems like we have enough Republicans in Jeff City to get things done, but we don't have enough conservatives to get things done.
Before I get to what some of the Democrats are doing, you just brought up a good point of, Republicans acting like Democrats. And I haven't talked about it yet, and I think a lot of the individuals listening in have been waiting for it. Look at Ohio. We just beat them. Mizzou did. Mizzou beat Ohio. They label this guy, Governor DeWine, as the most Republican, conservative, pro-life champion, even though they tried to steal our thunder with the heartbeat bill. We were the first state that outlawed the heinous act of abortion before they did. But Governor DeWine, what do you think about him vetoing a bill? He knows it's going to get overridden. So what political capital is he saving with his little? He kind of looks like Mr. Mole from Winnie the Pooh, like the guy.
Oh, hello there, Ohioans.
And he comes out and vetoes the bill that's protecting minors from being chopped up, injected with hormones, experimented on. It's a common sense bill that we even passed. Even Governor Parson signed that bill. I mean, how did you react when you saw a Republican acting like a little weasel? Not even a moderate, but a left-wing regressive.
Yeah, how do they, where do they, I don't understand where they think they have the right to oppose the voters who put that person in office and expects them to represent them, how they become beholden to, it seems to be a minority caucuses or minority. I don't know if it's lobbyists. I don't know where they get their influence. People always just jump to money and corruption and all those things. And I guess I tend to be a little skeptical that it's that simple. But but I guess you have to really you have to wonder how long the termites have fed and how deep they are embedded inside the Republican Party. If this guy was supposed to be the darling of the party, that's discouraging.
Mr. Mole.
Yeah, Mr. Mole's it's been a big letdown.
Veto this bill.
Sounds like Droopy Dog.
Hello there, Phil. Happy 2024.
Man, that's not bad for, especially, I mean, you're not even really old enough to, that's like before your time kind of character, isn't it?
I mean, liked him. I mean, a little white dog. My parents used to show me Mr. Magoo.
Okay.
That was another one.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, I grew up with, what was it? Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie, which of course was before the Jetsons. That was before my time, but my parents, like, those are their shows. So they would like.
Can I quiz you?
You can try. I'll probably fail.
The voice of Mr. Magoo had another very famous role that he played. In person. Not as a voiceover.
I don't know.
Thurston Howell on the Gilligan's Island show.
Oh, okay.
The Millionaire.
That was him.
That was the same voice, yeah.
Gosh, dog.
Isn't that crazy?
Dude, nowadays, like, if you could take us away from the craziness that's happening today, the phones, the mainstream brainwashing, and just put us on an island, mm-hmm. I mean, that might actually be a blessing in disguise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, might be. The Lord of the Flies theory.
Yeah.
You know, it'll work itself out.
Well, we're living in 1984. I mean, the Orwell crap mm-hmm. that we all thought was fiction. It's never going to happen. You read about it in high school. You're like, gosh, dog. I mean, that's oppressive. That's never going to happen. It's here. I mean, you literally have states that are saying, we don't like that guy. He's out of here. Trump with the ballots. Like, yep. Based upon what interpretation? That's why I keep calling it the high court in Colorado, because they've got to be high,
right,
to interpret the Constitution in that manner. Another person that we just spoke about last round, you weren't here, was a bill that the Democrats are prioritizing. I have no idea what the hell this means, why they're doing it, but a Senate bill, I just had it pulled up. It's a Senate bill by Carla May, Democrat out of the city of St. Louis. You would think she would try to prioritize the educational opportunities, economic opportunities or lack thereof in the city of St. Louis. She's got a bill that will change the name of the Show Me State, the designation of our nickname, the Show Me State, to the Love Me State.
No. Is that true?
100% it's true. 100% it's true. Senate bill, I think it's 1278. She filed it last week. It would designate the official state slogan of the state of Missouri as the Love Me State.
Now, what do you guys do when this pre-filing world? Does everybody just throw everything they've ever thought of and just to see what sticks at the wall? Because that just sounds
that's
like
not what you're supposed
like a
to
joke,
do.
Nick. That sounds like a joke. You know, that just sounds like.
Well, isn't that what the Democrat Party has become? Like when you look at when I grew up cleaning church with my grandparents, they would have. I'm the youngest one in there by far, but in the rectory, they would have the nuns kind of, you know, making lunch for us afterwards, and you'd hear all these old guys bickering. You couldn't tell who's Democrat, who's Republican, because they were all, you know, basically for the same things, but differed on how to get there. Now you have crap like this. Now you have like pro-Hamas people shutting down Christmas parades, shutting down the lighting of the Christmas tree in California. What has the Democrat Party become? Now they're focusing on the Love Me State.
Oh, that just sounds...
And I can't pull up the full text of the bill yet. They don't have it available for us to see online. But yeah, I.
Well, let's take a vote. Let's bring that to the right to the floor.
Bring it to the floor. Well, one thing we did discuss: Pennsylvania spent over $600,000 by, you know, paying the salaries of their elected officials to debate and pass a bill in Pennsylvania that would call 2023 the era of Taylor Swift.
Well, I have to question how many people are some of these people just not taking their job very seriously, and they're going to just clog up the. Because let me ask you this: if somebody pre-files something as silly as that, are they just? Does someone have to then an employee of the government has to process yep. it and sit with it and take it seriously and treat it as if? Well, then that's time, money.
Yeah. So the employees there, the drafting department, has to take whatever language this senator wants. Drafts it into a bill,
okay.
Give it to the senator for approval. Then they finalize it. It's called, in the House, they call it greenbacking. Here in the Senate, it's yellowbacking. Basically, that's the final form that you sign, submit to the Senate staff. They process it. You file the bill. They've got to upload it onto the web. They have to upload it onto all these different databases within the House and in the Senate so we can follow, okay, what's happening with this bill. And then pre-filing in the Senate is different than pre-filing in the House. I could pre-file 800 bills in the House, and theoretically, none of them could get sent to committee. They could all just sit there. In the Senate, it's first come, first serve. Like I said a couple months ago, the only bill in the Senate that made it to the governor's desk, became law, that was not pre-filed. There was only one of them, and it was my bill. So it's very rare if you don't pre-file in the Senate because it gets referred first come, first serve. So your priorities are going to be pre-filed. I guess that's a priority of one of the ranking members in the Senate. The Missouri Senate is designating the state of Missouri to become the Love Me State. Now, is that directed just to that senator, like love that senator in particular, or just in general, just love me? I mean, it's hard for me to figure out what the hell is going on.
I guess what I'm saying is if I had elected her and I found out that that's what she was doing, I would ask her, are you doing this to just clog up and slow down, or is this some type of a strategy? Because I don't know what these Democrats, they coalesce around these ridiculous things and they support each other in idiocracy. It would seem to me, if I were her and I wanted to just irritate, like you said, what did you call it, the drafting department?
Yeah.
If I didn't like somebody in there or whatever, I'd just file all kinds of dumb stuff.
But wouldn't
like that
be a misuse of taxpayer
dollars?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's inefficient government, and it just leads to people thinking that you guys in Jeff City are just, some of you guys, are just joking around and screwing around and not doing what the people's business really is. I know Justin Hicks, who we talked to at length, was very disappointed in some of that kind of stuff. Like, people just doing kind of not doing their jobs, I guess you'd say, and not because you can't imagine she filed that with any. I mean,
you know, I'm still waiting on. She was one of the ones that was filibustering our bill, the Republican bill.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, she filibustered the bill to take back control and put it in the hand of the police and put it in the hands of a citizen-run board in the city of St. Louis.
I remember this. Mm-hmm.
And talking to her, I said, what do you want to do? I'm open. I'm not married to my language, but my end goal is this, is making the people of St. Louis safer, allowing businesses to come back, tourism to come back, but just fully staff the police department to protect life, liberty, and property. She said that she doesn't have to tell me her plan. I said, well, what? I mean, then go amend it, file an amendment. I don't have to. But she stood in the way, filibustering, and this is her priority. Maybe,
man.
A designation of Missouri as the love me state will get rid of all the criminals, the drugs, and the nonsense. But I will tell you, speaking of love, here's some news that is breaking that could set the tone starting out in 2024.
Outside the federal courthouse here in Lower Manhattan, and this is where Judge Loretta Preska has ordered that January 1st release date of more than 170 names associated with a civil lawsuit that was settled some time ago here. But many of those names that will be released are Jeffrey Epstein's close friends, associates, and some of his victims. Now, the judge is also allowing those individuals who would like to keep their names concealed or redacted to file an appeal to make their case before the release of those names in less than 2 weeks. Now,
so that's the Jeffrey Epstein list that's starting, what, so tomorrow we could start seeing some of the names that, I mean, you've all heard Bill Clinton and you name it, Tom Hanks, whoever,
everybody pretty much. I mean,
but the judge is saying if you don't want your name released, you can file a motion.
What is that little
how
caveat?
The hell are you going to do that without disclosing that you're on the damn list? Like you're going to have some secret person file a motion.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's ways to do it, but do you really think something's going to come out of this? Because
well,
I don't.
It sounds like the people who can really afford to figure out whatever method that is to do that anonymously are the only people who are going to be precluded, because it's going to take money to keep your name out of the press now.
Oh, for sure.
Because if you're on that list, and I'm assuming that there are a lot of names on there, but I don't always presume that if you're on that list that it means anything necessarily. So I don't just jump to conclusions. I believe some people have shown Trump's name on the list. You know, I've seen that. Maybe it's false. I don't know, but I've seen
that. Well, wasn't it Kennedy? RFK said that he was on there
several times.
Yeah, that his wife, his ex-wife, was friends with whoever it was, Ghislaine Maxwell.
I think
so. And they were on the plane a couple times. Now, he says he's never been to the island, which I think I want to see who's been to the island, because I don't want to get distracted by who's just had an association with
this
knucklehead.
This will just be flight logs?
I think it's just the flight logs.
Okay.
Now, can we designate where they were going? I don't know. Another thing that is kind of in the news, but you got to dig for it. We've got Mark Zuckerberg, some other, I think even Oprah Winfrey, Post Malone even, buying these bunkers or building bunkers within the United States. Obama's got that movie out on Netflix. And then the minute that we have left, is there anything? Eric's not here to stoke the flames of conspiracy and get my blood boiling. Is there anything to this, or is this just what rich people do?
I hope it's just what rich people do and have been doing for a long time. But no, with all the preppers were a big thing several years ago, that all those foods and all that stuff. So yeah, it makes you sort of wonder, because, and then of course I always picture my scenario would be that as soon as, you know, all hell breaks loose or whatever, those are the first people that we're going to attack, because we know they have all the food.
I mean, why put your name out there to say, hey, we're storing all this
that's
stuff
in there?
That's
what I mean. Like, I stay pretty low-key on that.
Well, any resolutions going into this next year?
I just want to keep on working and keep on, helping the cause here in Missouri and keeping politicians where they need to be, which is upfront with what they say and what they can do.
Well, we're going to keep staying and we're going to keep fighting. This has been a pleasure. Thank you, Phil, for opening your doors here at SR1, your studios, your talents, and your knowledge.
Aww.
So we're going to keep staying and we're going to keep fighting and we're going to kick some ass. 2024, hope you join us. It's been a pleasure. 2023, kiss my ass.
Stand and fight.
Give me fire, give me that one.
This is SR1.